$40.
Yeah. We charge $40.
Yeah.
You know, for actors. So, but they went out of business because they weren't charging.
Yeah.
And so I guess, you know, what you guys are saying is that I'm going to go out of business if I don't charge more.
No, but. But you're full. You're popular. Full dance card.
I'm messing. I got it.
Well, the ultimate argument of being at capacity is it's a perfect opportunity to raise the price, right?
Right.
There is a limit to that. And in your case, I think it is different than the martial arts on two sides, one positive, one negative. You know, in the one negative, the first need you're filling is the need for the parent to warehouse their kid for 3 hours until they get out of work. And they have to have that. Then everything else is an expanded product to have a nicer, better environment, learning environment, and so forth for the child. And, you know, for, I think, almost all parents, they're pretty insensitive to the price if they see a dramatic difference, right? And, like, I know with my own kids, with Chase, it would be much more convenient for him to go to after-school care that they have right there at the school, except I've, like, watched it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to leave him there. Because really all it is they're playing games and playing on the playground, and there's no educational value to it. And all it is they're warehousing them and keeping them halfway safe, right, in the process. But, you know, but if I had your program access, I'd much rather pay $500 a month and have a couple more hours when he's doing, you know, something beneficial. So the benefit you have is the parents that need it, and therefore, once they're there, they don't go away, and it's not dependent upon their enthusiasm day by day. The challenge you do have is that there are all these other that they can perceive as comparables. And you've got to really make a distinction of why this is a big difference, and you're doing a good job of that. On the other hand, once you're at capacity, you know, and then you've got to make a calculation. Do I have enough new people coming in that if I wiped out 25% that I could replace them, right? And what is that number, right? So if you could feel comfortable that if you lost 10% a month because you're pricing them out of the market, that you could replace them, which is only 20, you know, 20 new ones, then you should keep leveraging up the price until you see the curve hit the other direction, right?
I don't know why the format of a renewal blitz in that format wouldn't make sense either. It seems like, you know, changing the pricing for November, December, because they renew at the beginning of the school year, right? Or beginning of the not the school year. Oh, every school year they do it? Or every, like, after Christmas?
Well,
school year.
No, we have a renewal that we change prices every 6 months. And we are able to change prices every 6 months, but not in between. That's a state renewal.
Oh, I see. But you could do it at one of the price breaks to do something like the renewal blitz, but, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there to do something, have huge, incredible, you know, a really big month, but then get everybody in place, and then you've got plenty of time to fill up the rest of it.
Well, he could have the same. He could have exactly the same premise.
Exactly.
Because it wouldn't be raising the price on the existing thing. It would be overlaying some additional expanded product. And so he could do the, like he's doing the leadership now for $100 a month. What is it you're calling it?
Peaceful Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
But
like the book, you know.
Yeah, the Millman book.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could go to the leadership program is $250 a month, January 1, and go through and renew a whole bunch of them into that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any regulations on that side on them prepaying? So if they wanted to prepay a year or prepay 2 years, they could do that.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
We just, if they dropped out, we would have to pay them.
By regulation?
Yeah. But
what does it say specifically?
So what?
Yeah.
Well,
Well, it would be a so what. Two things, again, is the balance. One is you have such a minimal dropout rate that there's not going to be many of them. On the other side, it would mitigate how aggressive you wanted to give with a cash discount, right? Is when I'm talking about that aggressive a cash discount, I'm factoring in 4 or 5% a month are dropping out. So, right, I'm counting on the fact that probably on average I was going to collect 13 or 14 months, and they're prepaying 3 or 4 years, so I'm going to give them a much bigger discount. You wouldn't want to be that aggressive because, you know, there's not that much time value of money over a year or 2 years to offset it.
And you know everybody's going to pay. You know, it's not the counter of you're only going to get 18 months or you're going to get...
No, he's dropping out such a low percentage of it in their capacity. But there's no reason in the world he can't start on that side leveraging the price. And there's also no reason in the world why there couldn't be yet another upgrade, or there could be a series of upgrades.
Or if the martial arts was separate from the child care component, that you would have to be obligated to refund, but the martial arts component wasn't, and it was factored in at the same rate as your martial arts, then you may not be obligated to refund that portion of it.
I agree with Paul, though. I agree. I think it's a so what. Because we're all used to thinking in the world of 4 or 5% a month are dropping out, but, you know.
It's so minuscule.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the retention is not their issue.
So there's a pricing and promotion strategy that might be really, really effective to get the pricing up and at the same time generate a lot of cash, just like we would do.
Is that the Allentown location, or which location is that one? Is the main?
Well, the Atlantis location and the Fogelsville location, which is technically Allentown.
Yeah.
Both of those are very high performing.
Okay. Okay, so they're about the same number. Okay. And what are the income demographics in those two?
The Amazing location, the average income is about $45,000
okay.
per family.
Again, Jan.
Oh, less than.
Yeah.
In the Fogelsville location, they're closer to 80.
80, okay. So wildly disparate between the two.
Very, very different.
Yeah.
Well, in the low-income area, how many kids do you have in that program?
We have 128.
Like one, I figured your average is 114 a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm counting my retention right now on my end because I'm not at 1% at all, I don't think. I don't keep it separate, I keep it all together.
For the transport after school care?
Yeah.
He was saying 1% a year.
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm much higher than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so... But I guess the other thing is we've got to get the martial arts side of that one to up into the 60s, right?
Yeah, the Emmaus location is the closest one to that. That's I'm there most of the time.
Yeah.
With my son, you know,
right.
So they're very, very good.
Yeah.
So, but I think that you're right in this. If we raise the price to 189 and 289,
well, see, I would rather see you have the 289 be the middle program, right? And so let that be the fallback, but then have something at the higher end, right? So, you know, describing it as the leadership program and then Black Belt Club, because that's the format we've got all the NAPA materials in. But, see, you can easily do that. Do you have two levels of upgrade or just one?
Just one.
Right. So, see, you can easily leave it where it's at, but then have the leadership program add another $100 a month, right? And so worst-case scenario is the ones that renew end up falling back to where you're at already, but probably at least half will go to the more expensive one, right? And, again, every time I push that envelope, I can't ever seem to get it off of the 75% or more are going to the higher level thing. Which again means we're not pushing the price even far enough, right?
Or it just means that this is just the way it is. I mean, I'm kind of convinced that if people will choose, and I think this is pretty well represented in other businesses, if there's two choices and I know the difference between them, if they look the same, I'll pick the cheaper one.
Right.
But if I know that there's some inherent value of the more expensive one,
and it's not outrageously more expensive. I'll cheap, and that's the only reason to have the two pricing levels at that point, is that they, it allows them to make an A-B choice instead of a yes-no choice.
Right.
So if they're making an A-B choice, they almost always pick the more expensive one. That's in a lot of other...
Yeah.
Disney has the same with the park hop. Right. I mean, it, very minimal situations where they don't pick the higher price.
Yeah.
For, you know, for a while, and dramatically dropped the renewal rate from our qualification program to the Peace Memorial program.
Yeah.
Dramatically.
Yeah.
It made it worse.
Right.
Way worse.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah,
so
I don't ever like that.
So then what we did is we said, okay, let's take down the sign, and we changed the application form to say... Peaceful Warrior and Leadership, and they could do the application and they could choose, and 7 out of 10 chose the Leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we didn't have
one. Right. Right.
Huh. So that, you know, that tells me that they saw the value,
yeah,
in doing the Leadership program even though it didn't exist.
You're hearing that, right, Greg?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously we have to do a Leadership program.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And but what I found was that they didn't really understand the value of the program before they saw the price, and they predetermined,
yeah,
that they couldn't afford it.
Well, that,
yeah,
that's
exactly right.
That's what Buddy Hudson's deal, right?
Yeah.
We let him come out to one of the marketing boot camps. And I really like those big plaques he does and everything, except he calls it a menu and puts the prices on it. And I think that's the dumbest thing in the world. You know, because again, it assumes that they see the value. And now, you know, in his case, he's doing, you know, 149, 159, 169, you know, something like that. And then, and, you know, if it's something like that, that doesn't make much difference.
Well, it makes another assumption, though, too, that when we present materials, like I can show you whatever I'm presenting, that if I present it to a civilian that doesn't know anything about us, that they're going to have any clue what that means. You know,
yeah,
the belts or the forms or any, whatever stuff you're teaching, whatever you do. I mean, and that's just, we know it because we're in the world,
mm-hmm,
you know, but they don't know any of that stuff. So I think, you know, not having the price, the pricing, the, it's an artifact of not being able to, that things need to be explained in a step-by-step fashion, and we need to explain stuff with first grade math.
Yeah.
That's the way everything should be explained.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, maybe kindergarten math.
Maybe, yeah, kindergarten math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm doing first grade homework nowadays, so maybe kindergarten.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, but now they do math in weird ways. They do some kind of funny, strange. If any of you guys have younger kids, it's
the Common Core math approach.
No, well, they add the hundreds first, and then they go the backwards way. Did they do that with your kid? No?
No?
You don't know because you can't do the math with them? You can explain it?
You know, it Chase, of course, is just first grade, but Jay, you know, Jada is 2 years ahead in math, right? So, but and like I scored almost a perfect score on the SAT math. I, you know, I did all this stuff. And I look at the stuff and I'm like, I don't know what the hell that is, you know.
Mathematicians have had that same reaction.
What's that?
Some mathematicians have had,
yeah,
that same reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the new way they're teaching math, they're trying to, yeah. But I mean, the point is that it's got to be, if it's hard for us,
yeah,
you know, it's got to be slowed down and explained really clearly. So that way you can't add value by those posters that Buddy, mm-hmm, has, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, you can add value by
the
graphic description.
Right.
I mean, the graphic description. And we've got that, you know, set up for everybody, the NAPA site, the Leadership program.
Right.
And I mean, I think that's useful, to have the big thing where you can walk them over, but just don't put the prices on it, right? Because you don't want them to be trying to make a value judgment based upon it's a pretty picture with, you know, and their emphasis is more on, you get this uniform, and you get this piece of thing, and you get this thing, and it's all this stuff. Too.
Well, but it comes back to, we do that, and we don't replace the personal explanation.
Right. No.
you know, the personal all that stuff and the blitz and all the material we send out and the emails and all the stuff is to soften and increase the value of what we're going to talk about. And then we go talk about.
You know, the best way to think about that is, and it is why introducing some people to, like, the direct response marketing world, the Kennedys and the Abrahams and stuff, you know, the best damn copywriters in the world are writing stuff that's based upon getting maybe 2 or 3% response rates, right? So, you know, they mail hundreds of thousands of pieces, and if they can get it to pay a 1% response rate, they're tickled to death, right? But on, like, the upgrade, we want 90%. You're never going to get a 90% close rate by mailing them stuff, right? And, you know, I mean, it helps if you get them to sit down and watch the infomercial, and it helps if you get them to, you know, read through the website, and all that stuff helps. But you're never going to get beyond maybe 20% without sitting down and having several one-on-one conversations with them, right? And so sometimes that's the mistake, is you see all the copywriting stuff and all the direct marketers stuff, and you don't realize. I mean, and the internet guys are even worse, right? So I mean, they're relying on, they get 10,000, you know, unique visitors a day, and they get a 10% opt-in rate, which is a home run, and then they get a 20% conversion from opt-in, which is another home run. And I mean, in the best ones, by the time you work through the numbers, you know, we're ultimately in a small numbers, very high efficiency with those small numbers type of business, which is completely different than those worlds. Their principles hold true, but you're never going to hit the kind of numbers we need that way. Paul, what do you think is missing on getting your martial arts side up to where it needs to be?
Each one of them is a different problem.
Right. Well, let's work on the best one.
Okay.
And
so the best one, the biggest issue that I see is that they make it too difficult.
Right.
For people to sign up.
Okay.
And what I mean is that the guy who I have doing the conference is probably one of the best kid martial arts instructors I've ever seen.
Yeah.
All the time I've been doing this stuff. But when he goes into the, he said to me, he goes into the conference and he talks to the people about all of the conferences that he's had in the past. He puts all the links in there so he doesn't have to answer any questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said to him, I said, look, sit them down and say, I love your kid. He's going to do great. Let's get him good. I mean, and so he started only talking to them for, I gave him a maximum of 5 minutes to talk to them and start signing everybody up. Mm-hmm. So they get in their head this thing that they have to give the big, long explanation when the people have been watching the class.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing what's going on, all you have to do is just say, he's doing great and he's going to do all right. Let's get
them up.
You know? So I'd say that's the biggest problem.
Do you feel like you have the intro structure, the enrollment conference structure, how you close the enrollment conference and prep them for the next step? Is that systematized and trained on repetitiously?
It is.
Okay.
Our intro is, we have almost 100% intro to conference.
Okay.
So we know that's working. But when it comes to getting the people set up for conferences at the right times, that's another issue.
What do you mean by that?
So they come into their intro, which is a private class, then they go into their first class, and after that class, they're supposed to have a conference with the instructor, or the second class. Depends on how it works out. Well, in many cases, it's 3, 4, 5 classes out, and by then it's...
Oh, they're not getting an enrollment conference at the second lesson?
Correct.
That's a big problem.
They're not signing them up for the basic program. So when you say 100%, 100% are coming back for the second time.
That's correct.
But they're not necessarily even asking them to enroll.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem. What is the introductory offer?
I knew you were going to ask that.
So you came prepared with all the answers. That's the rest of that sentence.
Because you and I have had this conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And I listened.
Yeah.
I still didn't keep on it.
So, but you know, the reality of it is that we were doing a one-month introductory program for $49.95. People would come in, and they would come into their intro class, and they would go in for classes for the month. Well, we still would renew them or put them onto the qualification program after the second class, potentially, if that was where they were exposed to. But what was happening was it was like sticker shock because we kind of set them up for failure, right? By giving them the $49.95, we already placed a value in their head.
Yeah.
That said, it's only worth $49.95.
Right.
And so we stopped doing that. Right away,
I think the party has started without us.
But I've seen wedding crashes.
Already stopped that, so yeah. It has increased dramatically since we did. So now we do a three class introductory.
Right.
Or we do the e-card, and what we did is instead of them, okay, look, we know that you have these 5 weeks available. What we're going to do is we're going to take that price off the entire price of the program. Mm-hmm. And what we did is then we just reduced it by, you know, $10 a month or something like that. And people are signed up right away.
Right.
So, and then we also get the money right away, too.
Yeah.
Which was always an issue.
What I bitched at you about, if I remember, was doing basically a free introductory class and then signing them up for a month for $49 and then doing an enrollment conference, right?
Yes.
So it was an extra step.
That's correct.
And I've had fine results with having a promotion going on out there with all kinds of different iterations, right? So like as a charitable activity, $49 and they write the check to Children's Hospital, and that's a month, and then we still flip them at the first or second class, right? Any time that I've ever done an offer like that, it's they pay for the offer first. They come into the intro, and then we give them the reason, like you just said, to flip. And usually it's so we give you a $300 discount if you go ahead and finalize your enrollment today or if you finalize the enrollment, you know, next class. How many in here are doing your enrollment at the first lesson versus the second lesson? First lesson? How about second lesson? So most are first lesson. Okay. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Well, what's your conversion rate of 100 people coming in and how many do you enroll? Is it 80% or
yeah,
for the qualification program?
What percentage of the intros end up enrolled?
Our percentage right now is 61%.
Okay. So that's what we should be looking at is what we want to get to 80. That's really a good target at least. And, you know, the only caveat is I think our conversion rate's a little bit lower with Groupon. You know, some people are saying they're only getting under 50% with Groupon. It should be over 60%. But yeah, if you're at 60% for traditional marketing, then we're focusing on the right thing. If you were getting 80%, then I'm like, who cares? You know.
Right.
Other than maybe whether your upgrade rate would be low. Sometimes you can convert well on the front end, but the upgrade rate's low, and it's based on the problem with the
premise on how you enroll.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you get the intro money. I mean, I've never really loved getting the money for the intro and then later asking them for the money for the basic or the qualification program or whatever program number one is, and then do the upgrade because now you've asked for money three times.
Right.
The caveat is they already paid in advance for, like, the charity thing. That's a little different. But,
But if, you know, I'd rather make, give, before they even pay the 49, give them the reason why they should pay me more or the same amount even, but they're on the full program.
See, and that, and that's one of those you can argue either way, right? Which is, I've always tended to fall on the side of what you just said over the years. But then the other argument is, a paid intro is going to be more solid than a free intro.
Well, I think, right? A paid intro, yeah. If you're at the fair, if you're at the something,
yeah.
And you've gotten the lead information, and now you give them an option to pay $49 for the uniform right now, and they can come in next week, then you're going to have a more solid, that's a show-up issue,
yeah.
More than it is a conversion issue.
Well, I think there's two things. One is, for a real short period of time, 2 lessons to 2 weeks. I'd rather have a paid intro than a free intro if at the same volume because they're more solid. Then the further I get towards it being elongated, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 2 months, 90 days, the longer the period of time, then it starts to negatively impact the conversion ratio. Because if they're coming in with a thing to do for 3 months, it's a little harder to flip them right away than if it's, you know, 2 weeks free or 2 lessons for $14, whatever the deal is. On the flip side of that, I guess that was the two things. If I had my choice of a paid intro or a free intro, I'd rather have a paid intro, but I'd rather have a paid intro for a short period of time, not nothing over 2 weeks. That having been said, is most of the Groupon offers that are working on like 2 months.
Yeah, if the marketing works better to do it the other way, I'll take whatever the marketing.
I'll take whatever I can get in the future.
Right, right. What am I going to maximize the lead flow with?
Yeah. But it sounds like your big problem really is that the average value is too low, and that's a matter of you started out at a really low price and now you're still at a lowish price. And then having a more aggressive upgrade. What percentage of people on a one-year enrollment are you ending up at the next level program?
About 58%.
Okay. So that could be better, but it's not bad, right? 75% isn't hard to do. Jeff Smith's numbers like 87%. That's kind of an outlier. I've never seen anybody hit a higher number than that before. So I wouldn't, I wouldn't benchmark with that, saying, well, we should be doing 90%. You can get that up to 75% probably pretty easy, and you can have the higher program so that you're both moving the percentages up. But at least half of them are going to something that's a lot higher.
Well, I think having two options at the upgrade will increase the overall upgrade percentage too.
Yeah.
Even if you kept the price you had now and added a higher one, you'll get more people going to the higher one, and total number of people that'll upgrade will be higher because they have a B choice instead of a yes no choice.
Right.
That's the problem that.
Yeah.
I see
well,
there.
I mean, we already saw there's a lot of people in the room that still have a lot of room to move pricing. Paul, you guys were at the lower end of the spectrum here, right?
Can you keep pointing that out?
yeah. Well, but I mean, you're not the only one. I mean, we had this. I mean, those are all, pretty low rates. My sense is, worst case scenario relationship for anybody in the room should be, 189 or 197 a month. I've never seen it make any difference between 149 or 159 and 189. It does just, it's not going to make any difference in the number of objections you get for price. Who was our guy, Nevada? We got him to change the price from
like 75 a month.
75 a month to 125.
Yeah.
And And I said to him, well, would you feel comfortable with getting that to at least 149? He said, well, no, we're getting way too many price objections. I said, okay. Well, at $75 a month, how many price objections do you get? None. Okay. Now how many price objections are you getting? It was like 50% or, I mean, he came up with a number that was, you know, it was more between his ears than it was anywhere else. But he was convinced that $125 a month was really pushing it, and they were really having really problems. You know, I got to tell you, I might write this down. It's practically impossible to make money in this business at $75 a month, you know, $100 a month. You know, I mean, there's fitness centers who do that, but that's just because you're dealing with the EFT and they never. Yeah. And Eric and I, you don't have much of a very strong upgrade in anywhere. And you really are missing the boat. I mean, where you're at, that location, everything else. Hell, how many active are you at in the jiu-jitsu program right now? Forget everything else, just the...
Yeah, we don't have them broken out like that.
Would you guess it's 400-ish between the adults and kids?
Oh, you mean with the... Well, yes, right now we're 568 today or something like that. Where the kids and adults together.
On the for the school or for the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Okay. And are you still running about 80-20 between the Muay Thai and the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
Everybody kind of cross-training. A lot of people cross-training.
Yeah, so you got to ferret that out. How many are coming in just for the Muay Thai? So it's heavier than a... Okay, so you've got out of 560 some, you've got 200 doing Muay Thai. How about the boxing stuff aside?
That's included.
That's included. Okay. God, out of. I mean, you should have at least 400 in the next big thing, right? And 20%, so let's say 80 people, you could have some in something really high end, right? But I mean, it's again, I mean, you're like Lloyd's situation, right? Is I mentioned before, you know, immediately went out and did like 40 at 1,000 a month or something like that. I mean, you could easily have 40 or 50 people in some kind of, you know, very high end deal out of those numbers. And I mean, I know your demographic mix is all over the board, but you have a lot of them that are, you know, have money, right? I mean, you have that, and you have, you know, 23-year-olds who are just barely out of college too. But you have across the board. But there's just no reason in the world not to have the $250 a month program and the $350 or $80 a month program, And that'll end up being about 80% of the school.
So we haven't kept good data on the movement from 147 to 97.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been good.
Right.
It has not been for what we're on it. Just put it in there as a test.
Yeah. Well, that's just an implementation issue, right? Is we've got to get it where they enroll with the premise that they're moving into the next new thing, and the enrollment is the trial enrollment. Yeah, I mean, what you're saying is common. It's people who haven't quite bought into the whole thing. Is you test the water and then you end up with 10 of them, and you go, well, you know, why bother? But long term doing it right, they'd end up with what? Essentially 80% of the school in the higher level program. And, you know, like all of our schools, that's about the number. It's 75 or 80% of the school is renewed. Most of them are in leadership, right? The ones that aren't in leadership are just the white belts. We haven't gotten there yet. And the smattering that just aren't ever going to drop out.
I might just add something in the demographic mix of that is that it, you know, we actually have for the 3 to 6 year olds, the tiny tiger, little ninja guys, we have 80% or better. Like usually it's 90% in leadership. So,
yeah.
You know, if you don't have your program set up so that somehow those guys can be moved up to the highest level, then there's a big mistake in how it's structured.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Yeah, because those guys are easier to upgrade. People really, parents really want to do developmental things with their kids in that age. And you know, 7, 8, 9, it's like, you know, if we screwed up so far, we can't change it. Yeah. That was a joke, but anyway. So you know, I mean, but I've got a,
I think
I've got a total.
Realistically, that point has since they have around 13.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But
at a certain age, they're not gonna. They've already done a lot of stuff, and they kind of think school's taking care of that. But that 3 to 6 year old, they really don't. The parents are a little more sensitive to if you do something good for my kid now, it's gonna have a big result later. So
yeah.
We found that the conversion rate, almost all the little guys do the higher level program.
Yeah. And in Eric and Hy's case and in Jeff's case, it's the opposite, which is mostly they're bringing in adults, heavily
right.
adult male.
Right.
And so now what it is it's getting the system in place so that they're setting them up to think properly about it and upgrading them into the program, similar to the DC Crop situation. So, and you're still what about, of that 560, 100 kids and 460 adults, more or less, right? So, you know, 80, 20. Jeff, how your kids are what, 80-ish?
We're about 75, yeah.
Yeah.
Kids.
And how many adults?
425 total for the school.
Yeah. So about the same ratio. And what's your kid? How many kids do you have?
It's probably more 60-40, 60 adult, 40 kids.
Yeah.
But you guys have a pretty good kids program.
Yeah.
But it used to be like that. It used to be really, really, really adult heavy.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, and you've got, I mean, your upgrade is $397 a month, right? So into the highest level, you know, much more aggressive upgrade system in place as well. But
my question, this is curiosity. How's your delinquency?
In the last 3 months, they've shot up.
Really?
Yeah.
We've got the. They were like, maybe this is price point, you know? I mean, but yeah, our delinquencies have in the last, I don't know. And I've talked to, like, Tom Dinklage, I've talked to other guys in, like, different areas.
Are you talking about credit cards that stopped working or what?
No, people just going delinquent on their accounts.
Right. I understand that, but the. But one of the things is with all of the credit card fraud, right? So if you look at Target and then Home Depot was the latest one, right? And then Kmart.
Well, no, these are delinquent. We've had people come in, reached out, and they've come in and give us their new card. So not, this is people just like,
they're gone.
Stop paying,
yeah.
You know, cancel the cards or, you know, stuff like that. But it's been like 3 or 4 months.
Because we didn't know if we had data from the past.
It started like in April. Like April's numbers are kind of like, oh, they're freaking out.
Well, there's been, again, I part of it is obviously student retention, but part of it is just all the credit card fraud. Because now you've got somebody paying by credit card, and the card companies, I mean, I've had probably every one of my cards with me not contacting them. Suddenly, here's the new card, shred the other one. And there's no easy way to update that because one doesn't carry over to the other. So, and in your case, you may end up with some portion of them where the payment stopped happening and they were kind of thinking about dropping out anyway. And now that gives them an excuse, right, to just never go fix it. You know, I would hate to psychoanalyze it too much, but from the standpoint of actually collecting on credit cards, I mean, everybody is every time you turn around, different cards are getting canceled, they're having to update it, and if they don't bother to update it, you know, you get a problem. And in your case, it may be, some of the MMA schools that I'm working with, I've seen, they just didn't know that that whether they were fading in attendance or not. And then the first time they found out that there was a problem was the credit card didn't work, right? And so in a lot of cases, they were already fading in attendance, and then all of a sudden the credit card never worked. They just couldn't get them to fix it, right? So it's not the other way around. Does that make sense? If you're keeping really good tab on everybody so nobody's falling through the cracks and you really know what your weekly attendance is and they're coming in twice a week and all that, then you'd have to look to something else to figure out what's going wrong with that. But for everybody, I mean, it is something to really pay attention to because, you know, at first you had the credit, you know, the market crash, which meant that all these credit card companies were tamping down the credit limits aggressively. And now you have all the fraud, so they're canceling the cards outright and issuing them new cards, which means you have to go update the billing on a whole bunch of people. So it may be connected to that. I mean, that's not a solution, but that may be the problem. Okay, we said we were going to wrap up about 7, which is 10, 12 minutes ago. Anything else we need to touch base on before we head out tonight? Okay, we're meeting the bus out front, so let's just meet right out here in the lobby.
Is it 9?
Let's meet at there at 9, and I believe that if all the planets align, the bus will be outside the front door at 9:30. You guys, I should get you to fill out our little slip for the thing.
We should wear comfortable shoes because we'll be walking a lot, right?
Yeah, we'll be walking a lot, and we're going to be, I think, in a school bus. You know, walking around West Point, it's more of a bus tour than it is a walking tour, but just for both of you, that information. So my solution was, fill that out and gave it to them.
We're done with this.
And then, tomorrow, we'll fill out another sheet for everybody who's left, and that way, if we ever get checked, there's a disparity, you know, but... The tour guide.
Here's my edit of the thing. You know, kind of what we did.
Oh, good.
I didn't put a lot of detail.
Why don't you hold on to it until we're done?
Okay.
Did you stop it?
Stopped it.
I don't know.
You know, kind of what we did.
Oh, good.